All right, good afternoon. Thank you guys so much for coming out on a beautiful afternoon to spend time with us. And you're actually really lucky because this session is either gonna be incredibly awesome or a complete disaster as we try to rotate through five speakers. So we'll see which way it goes. We have, I have got some of my esteemed colleagues from the Windows side joining me. The intent of this session is really to show how we're partnering together as the Windows innovations are coming fast and furious through services, through client capabilities, and how we're integrating those on my side of the house on the enterprise client management team to operationalize some of these new Windows capabilities to give you a true end-to-end. We work very closely with everyone up on stage. The empty chair is not symbolic of anything. It's only that we have one person that's presenting right now and will race over here to join our session later. So it's not honoring a lost pilot or anything. It's just an empty chair for now. But it will be filled with a body at some point. And hope he makes it in time. We moved his stuff to the end. So hope he makes it in time to go through that. We're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about Windows Store for Business. We're going to talk about Azure Services and the Config Manager and Intune integration on Azure. We're going to talk about advanced threat protection, device health attestation, Windows upgrade analytics. So lots and lots of topics to talk about, and we're going to rotate through the subject matter experts for each of the Windows areas, and then I'll come and show this Config Manager and Intune integration for each one. We have a ton of slides, and I've now spent nearly 2 minutes on the title slide, so we may not even get close to finishing this thing. From an overview standpoint, the main point, just to reiterate what I said earlier, our main point is really to bring home how our management solutions are more and increasingly cloud connected, whether that's Intune, which is cloud-based, Azure hosted, or whether that's Config Manager, which is still on premises. The main point of that first bullet is, the first and second bullet for that matter, is really that with a lot of the value in Windows moving to Windows services, Windows value add services, the isolation of an on-prem product like Config Manager is really not even a reality anymore. For years it's had hooks into Windows Update and hooks through WSUS, but increasingly it's connected, deeply connected to these other services to provide a rich end-to-end experience to really take advantage of these core Windows value propositions around the areas that I mentioned earlier. So we're gonna take a detailed look into each of these services, talk about the value they provide. My colleagues on stage here are going to talk about the service that they own or that they work on, and I'll follow them up with the integration point. I'm repeating myself because I think I already said that, but just now you really know what we're going to do today. So there are just loads of services, and it's becoming a fully matrixed world where our on-premises products, whether that be, and it's not even called out here, but whether that be Active Directory to Azure Active Directory, Config Manager connected to Intune, Config Manager connected to all of these services in the giant cloud in this slide. But we have services, we have services of Microsoft Azure, Office 365, Upgrade Analytics, Windows as a Service, Windows Store for Business, Windows Update for Business, Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, and so on. I probably don't want me to read you everything on this slide, but we have tons of integration points, tons of cloud services that are deeply integrated as we really embrace this one Microsoft strategy of collaborating deeply together so that we're all on the same page, whether it's a client service, a cloud service, a management service, that we're bringing these things together to provide best in industry value for realizing the capabilities being produced by the Windows team, by our services teams. So first off, I'm going to kick off for Optimize on Azure. And what I'm going to focus on here is some of the investments we're making on the Config Manager side to take advantage of Azure for things like IaaS hosting of Config Manager to reduce your data center hosting cost of the product. I'm going to talk about how Intune is moving fully to Azure and bringing with it a great exposure to the new Graph APIs, which we talked a little bit about yesterday. And I'm also going to talk about internet-based management improvements we're doing in Config Manager with an Azure-based proxy service, And finally, I want to talk about a little bit more detail, like on the advantages of our move of Intune to Azure. So for Azure Hosted Config Manager, so we have about, from data and telemetry, we have about 500 unique tenants that have some role in Azure. We have some very large customers of the 800,000 client size moving their entire Config Manager infrastructure to Azure Hosted. It's fully tested, fully supported, and we're documenting all of the ROI information you need to make the considerations about is Azure Hosting right for you. It can be an extension or replacement of your data center. You can take the role servers that make the most sense for Azure for your environment, combine that with our new peer caching model, and you can start to drastically reduce the on-premises or the data center and branch office footprint of Config Manager to reduce the cost of ownership of the product. And that's the main reason why on the last point of this slide. Cloud-based management service. So we've had internet-based client management for years in Config Manager. It's not easy to set up. We estimate that maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of our install base of Config Manager actually uses it. What we're doing in our next update that's coming out in Q4 this year, our 16.10 update, because we're on a servicing model now, is providing a way to manage those internet-based clients using an Azure-hosted service. So you can go through the Config Manager console, you can add the Azure-hosted service, and that becomes the point through which your internet-based clients talk to that Azure service and proxy back into your on-premises Config Manager services or your Azure-hosted Config Manager services. The important strategic part of this effort is that this is a click stop on your trajectory to cloud management of Windows 10 in cases where you still need agent-based management, but you want the flexibility of supporting those roaming users. So this provides that ability to extend the perimeter of Config Manager as a click stop on your trajectory to future Intune management of Windows 10 when that's right for your organization, when you have the right capabilities in the platform, and when Intune is ready fully for your organization to do that. That's not saying that Config Manager is not going to be around for many, many years. The point is that this expands the capability of the product in a very cloud-friendly way to support those roaming user scenarios. We continue to do that with agent-based management. This is a kind of high-level diagram of the cloud-based management architecture. Main point to call out here, this is really great for future reference if you want to look back at the session online and get some, get a little deeper insight into how it works. The main point is that the proxy service is sitting up there on Azure. Windows Update being a service that's also a public service that's also available from the internet, obviously for clients. A combination of the two, for example, you could get your Windows Update from Windows Update, and you get your other client services from Config Manager through this cloud proxy. It's got a proxy point connector that basically goes through HTTPS up into your Azure hosted instance, and it starts delivering certificate secured services to your client. So that's going to be a big part of our 16.10 release because it really opens up a realistic opportunity for a lot more customers to take advantage of internet-based client management using the Config Manager agent. Now, this isn't a competitor or replacement to MDM management. That's a whole different management style. This is simply extending the Config Manager infrastructure to be available to clients that are not on the corporate network. So it's got a lot of application to it. We work very closely with Office 365. In 16.02, we added the ability to update O365 click-to-run clients from Config Manager software updates. And we've added a dedicated dashboard to deliver and monitor deployments of Office click-to-run applications. So not only can you update and manage the updates of Office 365 client apps, you can now manage your deployments of the Office 365 clients. And we've integrated with Office 365 to do that and work very closely with them on how they publish updates, how they make available the click-to-run client. So from an integration standpoint, we have... I have a demo machine. I'm not going to cut over to it for this. This isn't incredibly exciting. This is just to show that the O365 client is a product that you can choose for software updates. And the sync results are down here in the details pane to show you what the updates look like when you sync them into Config Manager. We have a dashboard for Office 365 servicing. This is where you're monitoring and managing your O365 click-to-run client deployments. So you have a first-class experience in the dashboard to monitor how that's going, you know, looking for successes, failures, errors, et cetera. And then finally, just to expand, I'm just trying to be complete here, the O365 integration of both Intune and Config Manager, not for O365 client, but just for O365 access through conditional access, is a key value prop of our Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite and Configuration Manager. For example, if you haven't heard about conditional access yet, effectively what it does is gates access to your Office 365 resources on a condition of compliance and a condition of management. That works either through an Intune enrolled device managed through MDM, or it works through a Config Manager client agent managed device through a conditional access, client-based conditional access. Some of the settings we can, or compliance configurations we can check through our agent-based conditional access model, which gates access to O365 based on these conditions, are you compliant with software updates? Do you have the latest Defender signature? Is BitLocker enabled? Things like that that our client can effectively assess, the SECM client can assess. And then what it does is through this, again, this is just to highlight our deep and increasingly deepening cloud connectivity, because Config Manager writes that compliance state up to Intune, which writes that compliance state to Azure Active Directory, which then tells Office, when someone makes an authentication claim to Office, it tells Azure Active Directory, will tell Office, as a user allowed to get that resource, that email, that OneDrive file, based on their compliance condition. And that metaphor extends into our MDM world as well. So it's just another indicator of how matrixed and cloud connected our management products are with Office 365, with Azure Active Directory, and numerous other services. So now I'm going to give some stage time to my friends up here, and we're going to go through the Windows service integration, starting with Store for Business. Then we're going to talk about advanced threat protection. And I asked Avi to present with us about 7 minutes ago, so he's being very gracious to give us his time. Health attestation. Brian's going to go through Windows Update for Business. Windows Upgrade Analytics is our friend Rama, who will be running through Don't Be Alarmed when he bursts through the door and runs up to the stage to do his part. And lastly, I'm going to close with our Managing Windows as a Service discussion. So I will stop monologuing now, although I'm sure you guys have enjoyed listening to me, and I will move over to Jan to present, talk about Windows Store for Business.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Jason, thank you so much. So hello, everybody. Thank you for coming to hear from us about what services and how we can help you to deploy Windows 10 in your organizations. We've heard from many IT professionals like you the questions about how they can leverage the Windows Store, how they can leverage the capabilities of it, like, for example, how you can pre-install applications to devices within your organizations, how you can acquire applications on behalf of the organization, and how you can distribute them within your organization so you can leverage the full potential of the Windows Store. So we have built the Windows Store for Business as a one place for you to do pretty much four things: to find, acquire, manage, and distribute apps to Windows 10 devices. Before I go into a sequence of demos, I'd like to talk to you about the three pillars a little bit more. Now, the Windows Store for Business is designed for organizations. And the organizational purchasers or the people who you delegate, like departmental purchasers or departmental IT professionals, can come in and search and find for the content from the Windows Store that you'd like to acquire for your organization and put it into one single inventory. The most important piece is that everything that you acquire in Windows Store for Business, including paid apps, are acquired by organization, meaning that the ownership of those apps is retained by the organization. So when employees leave, you can actually reuse that license and assign it to somebody else. Now, the Windows Store for Business allows you not to just search in the catalog of Windows Store public apps, but also if you are managing internal line of business apps, as we call them, that are universal Windows apps, you can use Windows Store for Business to help you manage those apps in one single inventory and then deploy them the same way as you're deploying the other apps. And we'll be talking way more deeper about the flexible deployment a little bit later. Now, obviously, it has to be easy and familiar for users, and I'll be demoing some of those capabilities absolutely in a minute. Now, if you are interested about hearing more about Windows Store for Business, we'd love to see you tomorrow at a session that we are doing with Matt Kotler. Right after lunch, it's a breakout 32-38. So if you want to learn more after this demo, please come to see us. So let me switch to my demo machine that is running Windows 10. And what you see is the sign-up page for Windows Store for Business. It's simply located at microsoft.com/business-store. And in order for you or the delegated departmental purchasers or IT professionals or administrators to log in, you need to already have a work or school account. We also, if you don't have one, we of course help you sign up for one. But I already have one, so I will sign in with my work account. And as soon as the Windows Store for Business portal opens, you see that this is a shopping portal that allows you not to just find and search the content that you need, but also manage the inventory and deploy those apps to your users across Windows 10 devices. Now, you see that we highlight number of apps. We also hand-curated, hand-picked number of so-called collections of apps that are great for business or that we believe are great for education if you're using your school ID to sign into Windows Store for Business. Of course, you can search for apps, but before I do that, in the manage, I'll also want to highlight the capability of adding line of business apps or internal apps. So these apps that you see were built by our internal fictitious company, Contoso Development, and were submitted only to our company for internal use, because obviously they connect to internal systems and they won't be of any use to anyone outside of our company. So for just an example, I will search for the camera app. And the camera app is right here, so Windows camera. So there is way more capabilities that we cannot cover today, like, for example, the offline licensing. So for whatever reason, if you decide to deploy apps to computers that are not connected to the internet or preload apps to your computer images, that's a great way to do that. I'll continue with online licensing, and I will simply get the app. So now, on behalf of the organization, I got the Windows camera app. If this app would be paid, I would need to pay for the number of licenses that I want to acquire, and I can then distribute those licenses within the organization. I can, of course, at any time buy additional licenses as needed. And by this, the app is in our inventory, and you would shortly see a page that would show us the additional capabilities that we have to distribute that up. But before we talk about distribution, I would like to show you the distribution options that Windows Store for Business offers. This slide is an HI chart, but what I want you to take out from it is that there are flexible options, including store-managed options, which are the first two, which is directly assigning apps to users and publishing apps in the private store. And then, of course, we do integrate seamlessly with management tools. So let me go back into my demo here. And the one option that I'd like to show you is assigning to people. So obviously, you can list anybody from your Active Directory and assign this app to specific people. Now what happens? An email is sent to those users, and those users will find the app in the Windows Store, specifically in the My Library section. So now you see that under Contoso, under all the apps that I own, I have the Windows camera. At any time, obviously, I can revoke the license, so I can remove this license from Alice if obviously needed. And when I go back into My Library, you would see that the application disappears. So that's one option. The other option is add the app to the private store. It is like, think about this as a special store section in the Windows Store that is managed by you. So only apps that you approved will show in the private store. And obviously, I can add the Windows camera to the private store. The publishing takes a couple of hours, so we won't be able to see the results. However, I have already set up my private store here. And you see that there are a number of titles, including some private line of business apps, like Contoso, PasteUp. And so the users can come in and pull any apps that they need. Now, if you've seen the Windows Store before, you're probably thinking, well, the store app is missing something, right? Well, where is the home, apps, games, music, TV, and the other tabs that you usually see in the Windows Store? Well, because Alice, who's using this computer, and her company is using the Windows 10 Enterprise, the administrator can actually deploy policies, either GPO or management policies, to show only the private store. Okay, so these were the two store managed options. And then let's talk a little bit more about the option number three. So many of you probably have management tools in place. And the Windows Store for Business, the portfolio of acquired apps, the inventory, seamlessly syncs through APIs that are public or publicly available to integrate with other management vendors with management tools. In this talk, we are obviously focusing on Microsoft Intune and System Center Configuration Manager, but there are third-party management tools that already announced their integration with Windows Store for Business. How it works? Well, the same way as what you've seen so far. So you just acquired those apps. You configured the sync, which is very easy to do, and we'll be showing that tomorrow. Then the management tool automatically syncs all the inventory of apps, the binaries, the entitlements, and the metadata. And then you define the distribution, and the apps got deployed to Windows 10 devices. So how that looks in an action in Microsoft Intune, and it's just a very quick snippet here. So this is my Microsoft Intune, and I see all my volume purchase apps. And if I zoom in, I can see the Contoso Health and Contoso PasteUp app. And this is the same inventory that I would see if I will come to the Windows Store for Business and browse through the inventory. So the inventory gets seamlessly replicated, and I can deploy them. Now, there is obviously another management tool, like System Center Configuration Manager.
Maybe you've heard of it.
That you can use to synchronize the inventory of apps from Store for Business. And that's what Jason will show right now.
Thanks, John.
Let me
it over to 4 here. Yeah, so as y'all are saying, we've obviously, there we go. Thank you. We obviously have two key management tools in our portfolio of Config Manager and Intune. So I was just going to walk through. This is a capability that is coming and is partially available today for offline apps, and we're continuing it for online apps with our 16.10 update. But effectively, what you do here in Config Manager is that you come in and you add your Windows Store for Business account, which we've already added. Some of the properties of that account are, your client ID, client secret key if you have one, language configurations like that. Once that's configured, that's a one-time configuration action, and you simply go in and sync for Windows Store for Business. Those apps, just like on the Intune side, and this works for a hybrid configuration as well with Config Manager and Intune connected, you go into your software library and you see your store apps. And you list of the store apps, just as Jan was showing, the apps that you procure through the store, they show up in Config Manager, and you simply create the application from this interface to deploy them. One of the benefits of, for example, apps, and I don't have any in this list, but an app with offline content, oh, there actually is one, offline content apps, is that you can take that payload and distribute it out to your distribution point servers in Config Manager. So that lets you distribute content and avoids the impact of your network on your network of clients going out to the store or the Intune service to get the payload directly. So it's a very, very straightforward experience. You just right-click on the app, you would choose Create Application, and you just walk through the wizard, and that's it. And then you would go target it like you would any other app as a deployment to the appropriate collection of users or devices that you want to deploy it to. So that is that's just for completeness. That shows that Store for Business is a great service on its own. It's got some manageability by itself. It's complemented with integration with Config Manager and Intune to really expand that targeting capability, that deployment capability, that monitoring capability to procure your apps on the Store for Business side, manage and deploy them through their lifecycle through Config Manager and Intune. And I just skipped through a screenshot because I actually showed you off my laptop what the integration looks like, so that's why I jumped past that. Now we're going to move into the second phase of the program and talk about Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, as well as the integration of that solution with our management tools. Avi?
Thank you. So Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, there is not a single day that goes by where you pick up the news and hear about yet another company that has been breached. It's adversaries, attackers are becoming sophisticated almost on a daily basis. It's no longer those kids that are trying to steal money. This is now an operation that is becoming government funded. So sophistications of attack is rising on a daily basis. Companies are being breached almost on a daily basis. This is why, with the new release of Windows 10, with the anniversary release, we are releasing a new service called Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. The goal of this service is to help companies quickly detect, effectively investigate, and respond to those advanced attacks. It's all about shortening the number of days that it takes companies today to detect those advanced attacks. It's the stat says that it takes almost 200 to investigate, and then tens of days to actually respond and remediate those attacks. Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is all about addressing those advanced attacks that are attacking us almost on a daily basis. There are four things to remember with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. It comes built in. We have a sensor that is built into Windows 10 that then we will show how we can activate that sensor to start transmitting cyber data into the cloud. So it's a client that sits in the, it's a sensor that sits in the client and then transmit cyber telemetry to the cloud. We then have in the cloud this behavior analysis, very sophisticated dictionary of known and unknown attacks. We're taking all this data and providing a breach detection capability. We're really pride that our system is not a noisy system. We have a low number of very high quality alerts. We use known attacks from our own hunters team, or we use information from third parties. The third piece is that we provide, with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, powerful detection, powerful investigation capability. In the cloud, we store about 3 months of data of what happened on your machines, and we are using this to provide you the ability to go back in time and see what happened. We provide the incident graph to quickly help you understand when you are investigating the number of machines that got compromised. And the last piece in terms of the value that Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is using is the intelligence Microsoft Security Graph. We're using a lot of signals from billions of endpoints across the globe, using our own data as well as third-party threat intelligence data as well as our hunters' data to basically quickly help you detect what's happening. When we look at the overall Windows 10 security stack, there are a lot of pre-breach technologies that we are really proud to have with Windows. We have the device protection, the identity protection. We have the ability for you to lock the information protection, and then threat resistance, all designed to block malicious software from getting on your device. But we're living in the reality that we need to assume breach. And this is why we bring Windows Defender. This is why we created Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, to provide this additional layer of assumed breach, a post-breach detection, where we collect all this information from your endpoint, understanding what's happening on your machine and really reducing this detection and response time. And now I'll hand it back to Jason to show you how the magic works.
Thanks, Avi. So from a config manager integration point with Advanced Threat Protection, these guys did a session just before this one that you can look up later that talks about the end-to-end workflow for signing up for Advanced Threat Protection. I'm just going to walk through, assuming that's already happened, and point out the pieces that are integrated into Config Manager today. And this is where we are today. We'll continue to integrate and look at integration opportunities with all of these services. But this is where we are today with Advanced Threat Protection. So effectively, what you do is you start a wizard here to configure Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. You name the policy, you describe the policy type as onboarding. Effectively, what you're doing here is that you are targeting a group of systems by collection to effectively enable the inbox capability for Advanced Threat Protection. What's in this payload is effectively a unique identifier to bind this client to your tenant when it reports its information up to ATP, so that you can see your tenant-specific information, your tenant-specific threat analysis. So we're effectively just invoking through an API exposed client side by ATP, we're passing this configuration file down to turn it on, is effectively what we're doing here. You just simply browse for the config file, and then you have some agent configuration on the other on the next page, and that's right now that's basically report analytics or don't. It's a Boolean value at this point, and we'll continue to expand what you can control goes up and what doesn't as both services evolve. So I'll cut over to my actual demo machine now and show you another interface that we have for Defender ATP, and that is around the status. That's the status of the client you've targeted with that payload that I ran through the screenshots of the wizard on. And then it tracks the health of that client as well. So, for example, you always need a denominator. You always need to know what your expected result set should be. And this gives you that sense of what is the state of your ATP deployment to assure that your status in the ATP console is accurately reflecting what you think your client count for installation should be, and along pivots of healthy, inactive, agent stopped, or not onboarded. So that gives you a quick glance look at how ATP ready you are. and then correlate that over to the dashboard in the services side, which you can go and look at the, again, look at the session that was just before this for a deeper analysis of ATP itself. Gives you the threat protection, the analytics on the Windows service side to assure that your clients are for that, you know, that post-breach monitoring that Avi talked about. So that's just another example of how we're integrating with advanced threat protection. I'm going to move over now to device health attestation, which is another security pivot that we're integrating on the Config Manager side. So health attestation. So health attestation is building on existing security technologies, secure boot, ELAM, TPM attestation, and really what device health attestation is, it's in that pre-validation, and it's on the left-hand side of the diagram that Avi walked through. Health attestation is a testing from boot level that your device is a trusted device through TPM and other pieces, UEFI service boot, OS loader, et cetera. With device health attestation, the world was like before you had a service like device health attestation. You had an authentication request and you're in. Health is assumed on your device from boot level up. You assume the device is healthy unless you have controls in place, such as network access protection or other things to protect the access for those resources. With device health attestation, what you get, and I'm gonna go through the animations here, is that authentication request in combination with Config Manager and Intune, that conditional access model I talked about earlier, where the client can only access those resources on a condition of compliance, we have integrated device health attestation into that compliance claim. So if your device is passing every other parameter that you've passed through your compliance policy, but the health attestation service has determined the device to not be trustworthy or not be healthy, then that information is indexed into your compliance policy, and Intune and Config Manager are then able to block access to resources based on the results set coming back from the health attestation service. So it's just another defense in depth measure to assure that you only have valid, secured, controlled devices talking to your critical data resources. And it's, again, deeply integrated into our conditional access model on Config Manager and Intune to take action on that state. Whereas the service provides the state and the analytics and the logging, the client management solutions that we build take advantage of that information to make conditions, to make operational decisions based on that state. So that's a common theme of the service integration provides that great analytics source, that great analysis, and the integration with management provides an actionable operational piece to go along with what the service is generating. And so I'll do a quick cut over here to health attestation. So this is our health attestation dashboard in Config Manager, integrated into Config Manager. And we walk through conditions here of your compliance based on the health attestation service. This is a direct integration with health attestation that we've done on the Config Manager side. This is the devices reporting. These are non-compliant devices by client type, and that's either mobile or PC. And then the top missing health attestation settings down here. So it gives you a quick glance view of any device health attestation issues that may be growing in your environment and allows, again, with integration into our conditional access model, gives you the ability to conclude the state captured here and integrated here with our connection to that service into that conditional access claim so that you can be assured that any client that is not testing as healthy is not getting access to Exchange, to SharePoint, et cetera. Sorry, we got a lot of devices and buttons up here, so I'm getting a little puzzled. So this is just a screenshot of being able to, of adding the health attestation service state to your compliance policy for conditional access. It's a Boolean value of true or false because health attestation, we take the state, you're either healthy or not. There is no middle ground with health attestation. And that is, I think that concludes at least the Defender health attestation security part of the program. And now we will move on to my friend Brian for Windows Update for Business. There you go, sir.
Thank you, sir. So I'm here today to talk about Windows Update for Business. You know, as we've been talking to customers, we hear a lot about the complexities of deploying the latest version of Windows, the complexities of keeping these machines up to date. What we're trying to do with Windows Update for Business is make this much, much simpler. We're trying to move and take advantage of some of these cloud technologies where the pieces for Windows Update for Business are built into the operating system. So with each edition that we release with feature updates and quality updates, we can still improve on things time after time and respond to feedback really quickly. Secondary piece is we have the pieces up in Woo and the Woo service. There, we also have the ability to respond and move things really quickly. So what we're really trying to get to is, with the agility with Windows Update for Business, make it to where it's a hands-free operation, where you configure your environment, you set things up, and you don't have to monitor it. You don't have to manually go in and control things. You don't have to manually go in and push buttons. You monitor the data, you monitor some of the reporting, and things just happen, and you can continue to have that stuff flowing through. The controls you end up getting is you still have your controls with integration with Config Manager. You still have your controls with Intune or third-party tools to where you can configure these settings pretty easily and maintain the rings and the groups that you have today for rolling out these updates and upgrades that are there. And what we really want to do is make this really, really simple and continue to innovate on a quick basis. So let me go through some of the changes we just made with the latest version. So we ended up going through and getting a bunch of feedback with control over the quality updates and deferrals. We know people run into issues and potentially they have problems. We want to make it to where they have that ability to test these things and make sure these quality updates are good to go before they roll it to their environment. We also heard a lot of feedback on drivers. And we know drivers, there's two camps on drivers. Some enterprises want the drivers to flow through. They want the latest and greatest drivers for their Surface devices or other devices. Other enterprises want, don't ever give me a driver ever again. Whatever I had on the image that was there, I want to keep it there and I never want to change it. So we added those controls. We also added the controls for feature update. You know, as we roll out these new updates, and we're trying to keep that quick cadence for rolling these updates out, we know there's controls that need to be in there. We know there's going to be enterprises that want to delay this longer. They want to have a little bit longer test cycle to make sure things are golden. We are adding this capability so that you can go out to that 180 days, and you can actually keep these feature updates paused if you run into an issue. The last item is we originally had Windows Update for Business only for CBB branch. What we want to make sure is that you have that ability to be on the current branch, you can be on current branch for business, and you pick and choose how you want to do it. Because your environment may have some of your, you know, road warriors, some of your newest hardware on that CB branch, taking advantage of the latest drivers, taking advantage of the latest features. You also have a number of mission critical things that you may want to keep on that CBB branch and slow the pace down a little bit, but you're still getting those things controlled at your pace. And then the last thing is, we do have this WSUS integration with DualScan to make it to where, as you're starting to roll out Windows Update for Business, you have the ability to continue with your current infrastructure, but enable some of these capabilities. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. You can integrate it into your environment and pick your scale as to how fast you want to deploy it. Okay, so there's a slide you're going to see. There's a presentation tomorrow which talks about an in-depth dig into Windows as a service. This is a slide from that presentation, but this is the model as we look at the way we're rolling out rings, and we hear from customers as to how they do these stage rollouts. We're trying to follow this with Windows Update for Business as well. So as we're developing the product, we definitely have our insider program. We're trying to give the preview of the latest feature updates, what new things are coming. We want to have that ability there for the enterprises to see those things before they happen. Once we release, we have the current branch. Current branch is going to be there. This is what's going out to consumers on that fast pace. We know there's a number of enterprises that want to take advantage of these features. Then we have our final current branch for business, which is kind of that slow roll on that same branch where you're pulling things out. What we want with Windows Update for Business is allow you to get into each one of these and control that pace and control that how that goes out to your enterprise. And we're enabling that. The last one here is long-term servicing branch, and this again is for those mission-critical devices, those devices that you don't want some of the latest and greatest features, but you want to support, you know, this thing for a really long time. So let me walk through how you would end up going about setting up Windows Update for Business. So the first thing is creating your groups. Since everything's built in Box, it's really just some policies that are there with group policy and MDM for setting up your rings for Windows Update. So the first thing you do is set up the groups. You can have as many as you want. You can configure the time frame as short as you want, as long as you want. You have that full flexibility with the tools. So what we see with customers here is they're using Active Directory. They're using security groups. They're using AAD. There's a number of things here that you have to create those rings. The next thing is to basically figure out what controls you want in place. How fast do you want things to roll out? Do you want a slow roll to your IT department where you're doing all of this testing, then you slowly roll out to the broader deploy? Do you want to move a little bit faster on some of the newer hardware? We want to make sure you have those controls. The last thing here is really just calling out with the pieces, since it is all components that are built in box, we have delivery optimization, which does some peer-to-peer. So if you have an environment where you're downloading the bits and you're updating your machines, you're not downloading it for each and every one. You have that caching ability built into the operating system to where we have some peer-to-peer to be able to pick these bits up from that local LAN instead of having to have everything as a WAN connection. Okay, so let me walk through a simple scenario where somebody set up some rings. So they have some rings set up. This is the initial pilot ring. You know, this is your canary. This is your IT department. This is your initial folks that you want to get the updates or the upgrades as fast as possible. We're showing some of the pieces here for configuring this with group policy. So these folks are set up with zero deferral. You want those to get them as fast as possible. Your second ring here is set up for, you know, a fast ring with a 5-day deferral. So once that update is released, these people will get things 5 days later. And I'm using short terms here to kind of just go through it. And then the last one is your slow ring where, hey, these folks will get the update last. You want to slow roll these people. You want to configure it. So we have three rings set up here. So with these three rings, we're in full control as to what's happening. If everything's going smoothly and everything's kind of working as is, your first ring there, they get the update. It comes down to that machine. Waiting for my animation to come through. There we go. Everything was great. Everything went down. That update went fine. You didn't notice any issues. So now the next step as this progresses through your other rings, there's no action needed from any IT admin. There's nothing that has to happen. It just slow rolls to those rings. And this is the way we see the majority of the updates and the upgrades going out. I know there's a caveat with that is what happens when it goes wrong? So let me walk through a scenario here. Same scenario with the rings with the same deferrals. But now there's an update that came down, and you ran into a problem. You saw something in your IT department with your early testing. What do you do? Now you have something, you have, you know, a clock that's semi-starting for the rest of the folks, and you have to take an action. There may be some remediation. A number of things could have gone wrong here. So we have a feature called pause. So now what you do is you can send out this policy to all of these machines to where you pause them. Now everything's paused. As you're going through and diagnosing what's happened and trying to figure out what the problem may be, you're not rolling this thing out to the rest of the population and kind of causing a nightmare to try and uninstall something. So now you have it paused, you configure, you find out what was going on. Let's say it was a local configuration on some of these machines. You understood what's happening. Now you go through and you unpause. By unpausing, now the deferral rings start back up and things start to roll out to the rest of the customers. And this is the way we kind of, so what we're trying to do is we know Windows Update for Business is new. We know a lot of people have questions, and I only walked through just a couple really short scenarios here and just some basic information. This stuff is in the deck here. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more of what's going on, you want to do a pilot, certainly let us know. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. So you got applause, I think. Yeah. Or maybe it's because I'm back. Yeah, there. It was for me. Sorry. It was mine. I'll share it with you. So a common question that we get is, okay, I have Windows Update for Business. I have WSUS. I have Config Manager. There's Intune. What do I use to upgrade my Windows clients? Like typical answer when you have all these tools available, it depends, really. We've worked closely together to assure that there is interop between Windows Update for Business and Config Manager. Windows Update for Business is the way that you update MDM-managed, Intune-managed Windows devices. Intune has the ability to configure policy that can control those rings that Brian pointed out that can be done through group policy for domain joined. For Azure Active Directory join client, you can use Intune to configure very similar deferral processes, and the client will then get its updates from Windows in a control Windows update in a controlled way. With Config Manager, today you can't do both. You can't use Windows Update for Business and Software Update Management in Config Manager combined. We are working on a plan hopefully sometime first half of next year, where we will have better integration between the two, and we'll have a deeper analytics where we, you know, bring data back from the Windows Update for Business service. We plumb it into the Config Manager console, like I showed you with the other services we're integrating. That's become a standard pattern for us now, is to take data and telemetry out of the service and port it back in for actionability. If that's a word, actionable. Okay, I think I coined a new term. And I probably coined about 15 new acronyms today too, so we're gonna have to invent a new alphabet at Microsoft to cover them all. But the integrated compliance reporting right now, for example, that conditional access model that I talked about, where if your client was reporting to Windows Update for Business, we still have to do some work to assure that we can get the appropriate compliance state for that device being updated by Windows Update for Business into Config Manager. So there's work left to be done. We are working very closely together. They've locked Brian and I in a room together and say, get all these things, pieces working. We're making progress, and we will continue as Windows innovation, Windows Update for Business innovation, and Config Manager and Intune. But it's definitely the approach. It is the only and the best approach for your modern management, your MDM managed Windows clients. And we'll continue to tie those services together on both the Intune and the Config Manager side. Another piece to bring up here, which is somewhat tangential but worth talking about, is, as you probably know if you work with updates at all, Windows has moved to a cumulative update model. The cumulative update model is really meant, it's really meant to reduce the fragmentation of the Windows ecosystem, particularly in the enterprise. When we provide, over the course of a life cycle of a PC, when you have 1 month of KB123, then KB456, KB789, and organizations pick and choose the updates that they want, the exponential fragmentation of the Windows ecosystem just explodes. And our ability on the Windows team and on the Config Manager management side, or Intune management side, our challenge then is validating a true build of Windows, because they're so fragmented by the different updates they've had applied to them, there really is no standard for what is a Windows 10 client, a Windows 7 client, a Windows 8.1 client. So with the cumulative update model is done with the best intentions. It's done with the intention to reduce the fragmentation of the Windows ecosystem so we can test and quality control Windows better. It does introduce challenges, though. It introduces challenges with the cumulative update size, which is going to grow over time. Good news is we recognize that's a challenge, and we're working very closely with the Windows Update team to support Express, which is a technology used by WSUS, in Config Manager controlled software updates. What Express will do is the client will go through a bits transfer, will only pull down the applicable bits from the overall cumulative update payload that it needs to be patched. It doesn't have to download and cache the entire thing. So our plan is to have, we don't have a dedicated timeline for this yet. We're doing work in our 1610 release to make this possible. We're working closely with Windows to get the update into Windows to make this possible. We have to work at this together, but we're working very closely to solve, and I don't have a date yet, but it is coming, to solve the cumulative update challenge from a payload and a caching size perspective. So that's not really related to service integration. That was a demonstration that we do collaborate, we do recognize these challenges, and we work very closely together to try to solve some of these challenges that a strategic decision we've made might have, where it's impacting our enterprise customers. So we are now, the missing member of our crew has arrived. He arrived a little bit ago. Rama's going to take us through Windows Upgrade Analytics, and then I'll close with an integration that we have on our side with Upgrade Analytics on Config Manager. We'll do a little bit of a discussion of OMS integration, and we'll wrap with that. So with that, Rama, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jason. Good afternoon. My name is Rama Shastri, and I'm a program manager in the Windows compatibility team. Let me make sure I can figure this out. So there you go. One of the most common complaints we hear from our enterprise customers is how difficult the compatibility story is during a Windows upgrade process. The biggest challenge is how long it takes for compatibility testing and remediation. What we've done with Windows 10 is create this new cloud-based service that actually gives them a lot of insights into their applications, devices, and drivers, and their compat readiness. If you're familiar with the upgrade assessment functionality in Config Manager, that was actually driven out of the App Compat Toolkit. The App Compat Toolkit is actually a tool that was built by our team, but we're actually deprecating that functionality in favor of Upgrade Analytics today. What you see here is actually a OMS workspace that's been preloaded with test data from across Microsoft. The concept is that you come in as an enterprise, you've got an agent running on your machine, you gather all this data, and you're getting all this data in the OMS platform. So if you look across, you see 13,000 machines sending data. We have data for 13,000 machines. The first thing that people do is actually go deploy a pilot, a small pilot that will go through the new release of the build to be able to help validate their drivers, their applications, and how their compatibility is. What we've done here on this blade or this vertical section that I'm showing here is help you identify quickly a small set of computers that you can go deploy a pilot on. The way these machines are identified is by no known Microsoft issues on these machines. So if you click through, what you'll notice is, first of all, you'll notice that you get a spread of computers. And then when you click in, you'll get details of every device. What you see is there are no known issues that Microsoft knows about. The known issues comes from primarily the Shim database that the Compat team has created that's deployed across every client.
Rama, how do you get the clients to talk up to the service?
So basically, we run an agent, and we call it Appraiser. It's a KB that's available on Windows Update. You deploy it on your device, and you also stamp your device with what we call a GUID, a commercial ID GUID, and that helps us identify that this machine belongs to that company. The agent runs on the machine, and it grabs all the application and driver inventory on the machine and basically transmits it back to the cloud. And on the cloud, what we do is we join this data along with compat intelligence that we maintain about incompatible apps or drivers, and then be able to push that data back into OMS where the customer can get access to it. One of the other things I wanted to point out is the query capabilities within OMS. If you look across, it's basically these queries that can be very flexible and gives you the ability to go in and pivot data any way you want in OMS. You've also got some good filtering capabilities here on the left-hand side, where you can go drill down by models or manufacturers. I'm going to go back to my homepage. One of the other things that we see is people struggle with the long tail of apps. If you look at, there's 50,000 apps here, and how do you rationalize these apps and quickly identify what is your focused set of apps that you want to go do your app compat testing on? If you look here, we use a combination of app install base and application usage to help you rationalize the long tail of apps. We'll go categorize those apps and put them in a low install count segment, and we automatically mark them ready to upgrade. That helps you actually focus your attention on basically the business critical or important apps. The way you designate some apps as business critical is you basically go into a user input paradigm, and you can pick and choose apps and designate them as business critical or important. You can also mark them as ready to upgrade based on your own app compat testing that you do within your company. The place where this gets really interesting is as you move and mark more and more apps and drivers as ready to upgrade, what you're going to see is it's going to move more and more machines into ready to upgrade category. Right? And this is where the integration with Config Manager comes in. Right? The Upgrade Analytics tool is primarily an analytics tool. It helps you do the planning. It helps you get insights into your compatibility issues and how to resolve them. But to take action on the machines and actually start a deployment, you have to go back to Config Manager or any other deployment tools that you have. And this is the area where we've collaborated with the Config Manager team to be able to hand this data back to Config Manager from where you can take action and go configure your collection, start your task sequence, and start your deployment.
That's right. That's a common theme of that hopefully you've seen today. A common pattern is that we just want to our integration with our management tools is meant to really operationalize and make actionable the data. And this is a great example of that, where you can really build your collections out of the rich data and telemetry and the analytics done by this powerful Azure-hosted service that has all the intelligence, pass the resultant set of that intelligence back to Config Manager, and then Config Manager can do the right thing on the upgrade, whether it's 7 to 10, 8.1 to 10, or 10 to 10. It can do the right thing based on the green light generated by this awesome service that tells you how ready you are, and hopefully saves a ton of time in all the manual analytics and manual steps you used to have to go through to determine how ready you were for the next version of Windows.
Okay. One other piece, and the last piece I want to cover, is around site discovery. Many of you may be familiar with site discovery. It was a feature that was released by our browser team to go collect IE usage information. And that was actually stored on-prem and usually get piped into SCCM. And a lot of customers had feedback about how it bloats their SCCM DBs. What we've done today is actually take this information, put it on the cloud, and be able to join that with our Upgrade Analytics data so that you get insights into the readiness of your web apps. Okay. So that's another powerful thing that we're announcing here today. At this point in time, I want to switch over to the console and hand over to Jason, who can show you the console. This is basically a summary slide about Windows Update Upgrade Analytics. It's available today. You can go to the URL at the bottom of the screen and go get access to Upgrade Analytics.
And so this, I don't have a live demo of this one. This is hot off the presses. We're just now finishing the tech preview version of this integration. But coming soon, we will have that direct integration talking right to the Windows Upgrade Analytics service, get that data into Config Manager, as Rama talked about, and you will then be able to create your collections directly out of the data that was generated and analyzed and built and even manipulated manually by you if you wanted to flag a device as ready. And that will show up here. And so you can then take action and deploy, start your deployment of Windows 10 to those clients and target the appropriate collection based on the data you're getting back out of Upgrade Analytics. So this one wasn't quite ready to show live, but we have the screenshots. It is coded, and this part will be coming soon. So it should be in time for the holidays. This is if I were to click on that button there, this would just generate a workflow to start the deployment effectively. Last piece is, and that was about getting to Windows 10. This one's more about staying on and staying current with Windows 10. Is managing Windows servicing updates through our dedicated Config Manager console, and taking advantage of our content peer caching capability to distribute that content of those Windows updates to minimize the impact on your network of taking that payload. So this is probably a screen you've seen. This has been around since 1511. The main points here are the first donut there is usage. Second is your deployment rings. Third are your service plan monitoring pieces. You can click on the create servicing plan here and actually to generate create a deployment of a particular to a particular ring. This is really conceptually it's very similar to what Brian talked about with Windows Update for Business in terms of rings and those deferral rings. It's just integrated into the Config Manager framework of collections being your grouping and targeting model, and scheduling engine being the date controlling the date that the Windows update gets applied. last piece here is there's a visual here that lets you know where you are in state by the versions of Windows you have deployed. And the get to red is that's not an area you want to get into because you're going into non-supported if you stick with it that long. So this is modeled off of the Windows support model for the update cycle that Windows goes through. And when that ever changes, we will configure our console to map up to the Windows model. So we have the right metadata to populate this table. Last piece, Operations Management Suite. We continue to work with the Operations Management OMS team to deepen the integration of Config Manager with OMS. This is just a starting point. On the surface, not incredibly exciting, but just for completeness, I wanted to point this out. For folks investigating OMS or looking at OMS or actively using OMS, you can use our OMS integration piece to replicate your grouping logic of your server management collections up into OMS and reflect the same groups in OMS that you've spent all your time building out in Config Manager. So it adds a rich grouping metaphor for your OMS, your OMS grouping and targeting actions taken directly out of your Config Manager infrastructure right up into OMS so that you can reuse the same targeting and grouping metaphors through your OMS managed data center servers that you previously used or use in combination with Config Manager managed data center servers. So that's just, and to conclude, these are a list of other sessions that are available that we recommend you see if they're not already passed, but we have a number of them here. So the intent, and I hope we addressed the intent. Our intent was really twofold. One, I really wanted to show, and when we discussed this session, you know, months ago, we really wanted to show visually and humanly how we work together to make the best customer solution across the company or across the product groups at Microsoft, and how to show that this one Microsoft thing is not just a buzzword. We really are working better together than we really ever have in my 12 years at the company. We tackle hard problems. We think of the customer first. We think of the right experience. We iterate. We innovate together. And it's not meant to pat ourselves on the back. It's long overdue that we work and deliver products this way. So the intent was to give you kind of a highlight reel of all the different services and integration points, but to also talk thematically about how we think about management tools, be those on-prem or cloud, and the best way to integrate those into this explosion of Windows value prop that a lot of it's cloud-based. It's really to show that, you know, we think of these things end to end. We think of these things collectively, and we try to deliver solutions that take the best of the Windows capabilities, the best of Windows services, with the best of the Config Manager services and Intune services, and roll these things into a usable whole. So they're more than just the sum of the parts. So thank you so much for spending a beautiful afternoon with us on a Wednesday. I think we finished just in time for happy hour, so we're more than welcome to stay and take questions. Step up to the mic, or we can hang out up here. I think we're the last one. We can hang out up here and take questions at the stage. Thank you very much.